Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday night special episode of Motor City Metrics. I am the host, Chris Brown. Alongside me is Yoop. We've also got Mike Papchek joining us. Mike, welcome to the party. Our typical host, Rogelio, is currently bowling. That's his Sunday night gig. So he couldn't get here on time to join us, but we're going to go with it anyway.
Whenever I hear of him bowling, I think of Fred Flintstone in the bowling episode with the twinkle toes.
Yeah, the twinkle toes. Yep. Every good show needs at least one bowling episode.
That's right.
But yeah, so we're just gonna, you know, the Sunday shows tend to be a little bit shorter, just kind of recapping the weekend series, and it was a pretty good one for the Tigers. They take two or three out of the downtrodden Minnesota Twins. So yeah, we're just going to touch on that a little bit and maybe preview this Tampa series. So I don't know if you've got any thoughts on the series as a whole, if you want to go game by game, how do we want to do this?
Well, you know, I think that the big thing is they won this series. People were a little upset for the obvious reasons why they dropped the game on Saturday. But, you know, anytime you go on the road against the former division champ and you win the series, I think you walk away feeling pretty good about yourself.
Yeah, what do you think, Mike?
Yeah, and I think with the expectations Minnesota had going into this season, it's just nice to get these early wins against them. I mean, obviously big division wins anytime during the year, but I was still worried about them, and I'm still worried about them going in to the rest of the season. So it's just nice to pick up a series win against them this early.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, one of the things we talked about last week is the Tigers were facing a Ranger squad that wasn't at full strength, and it felt like a bit of a missed opportunity, and the Twins are certainly banged up themselves, and the Tigers didn't let this one slip away, although they did unfortunately continue a trend. The Saturday game was kind of the result of some poor defense again that was led to another loss. So but yeah, I just we can run them back through them real quick. The Friday night game was kind of the middle of the order game, as I recall. It was Wenzel Perez, Spencer Torkelson, and Kerry Carpenter going like 10 for 14, and everybody else went 2 for 25 or something. But yeah, it was. We also got to see in that game kind of what we've seen all year long so far, was that they keep scoring runs late. You know, they don't have these giant offensive explosions late, except maybe in that one extra inning games against the Mets, but they scratched out they were down to two outs in the ninth, I think, and Parker Meadows, of all people, gets a single. It goes to second on an error and scores on a Wenzel Perez hit, and they close it out. So, I mean, that's been fun to see. I don't know. What do you guys think that this sort of late inning heroics can continue all year long, or is it just a weird part of the early season?
You know, their records are so good right now in one run games. Unfortunately, those things tend to even out over the long haul. You know, and when you start thinking about being a comeback team in late innings, I don't think that's something you want to really pay your mortgage with, right? So it's great right now. We said all winter long they needed to get off to a better start in April than they have the last few years if they want to have some hopes this summer. And they're 12-10. But they are doing it, you know, with a kind of a creaky offense, and they're winning some comebacks. Will it last? We'll have to see.
Yeah, like you said, it'll eventually regress to the mean, which is why they need to start building up these wins now, because we know that it's not going to stay this way. But I mean, that game, I was pumped for Perez to. Yeah. We finally have a prospect. I feel like it's been a long time since we've had guys come in and hit the ground running when they come up. And mm-hmm. I'm not trying to fault anybody. I still have a bunch of faith in Colt Keith, regardless of how he looks right now. But it's great to see that he, in this series, he's looked really good. And we've heard about him for years in their system. It's just, I love that he came to play and he got the game-winning RBI and all that. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, some fun with, under-heralded players, if you will. You know, it wasn't just Perez, it was Buddy Kennedy coming in and pinch hitting for Colt Keith on Saturday and put together maybe the best plate appearance of the weekend. And then today, you know, goes out and hits a two-run homer, and he picks up another RBI. And, just it is nice. That's why we, you know, Roger and I cover the minors pretty extensively. And one of the things we always talk about that with the current farm system was the depth. It was deeper than we could remember. And this is when that comes into play, when, you know, Colt Keith is the bell cow. You're really counting on him to be the guy who produces. And it's just been, it's been a tough transition for him. There are indicators, we've talked about him before, that that he's going to get out of this. You know, he's not striking out a ton. He's, you know, he's got a really low batting average on balls in play and stuff like that. But yeah, I agree. It is nice to have a guy hit the ground running. It kind of harkens back to the days of like Brent Cleveland, or, you know, when they had this veteran laden lineup and they would just bring up a rookie to help and he would go bonkers and you'd be like, hey, he's part of the future.
You Brandon Bosch him- actually did that.
Yeah, twice. He did it in 2010 and in 2011. You're like, oh, this guy's an all-star. And then whoop. But yeah, no, I agree. That part has been fun. And there were just some interesting developments too. I mean, we that game too, we unfortunately, one of the errors was on Baez, which is always going to get cause some concern. But the big costly one was again on Spencer Torkelson, which is it's just tough because his bat does appear to be coming around a little bit. He had two big hits today, including a double, had a sacrifice fly. So there's positivity there, and our buddy Jerry has, you know, dug down into the data more and find that, yeah, he's now starting. We know what a successful Spencer Torkelson looks like. It's hitting the ball in the air to the pull mm-hmm. field, and he wasn't doing that earlier, and he has started doing that, and so the success is starting to come. But yeah, I don't know. We at some point they may need to consider maybe playing Canna more at first base and Torkelson more at DH. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Mike, if you want to take a crack at it.
It's frustrating seeing Torque struggle at first base when this was like an issue when he was drafted, right? And I'm sure you guys have talked about this in the past. It's obviously come up, but he wasn't really a first baseman coming up. So it's just, it sucks to see with the organization. It sucks that he's not comfortable, I guess, but I do think that putting him at DH, it would be a solution. I actually thought Kerry Carpenter would play more DH going into this season, but he really hasn't. They've actually been using him as defense. So when I kind of had this idea when Miguel Cabrera retired, that Kerry would be really the primary DH just because he's not really a great defender. But, I mean, he's been serviceable enough, and with Torque having the issues that he has, I think he's giving him a bit of an opportunity. And I'm also just kind of – I'm seeing these comments by Stando. I do think Kerry Carpenter is the real deal, and I don't think it's a fluke he's ahead right now. But with him also being able to not be terrible defensively, I think it might be a good idea to start playing Canna for space more.
I've always said that if he hits, he'll play, right? Yeah. So I think if he hits, he'll be the first baseman. I don't think there's going to be I doubt there's much chance of anything different at his age. I think they keep him at first base. I think they live with the growing pains. They hope that he can get incrementally better. Yeah, he muffed one the other night right through the wickets, and it was costly. A couple of his other errors this year really haven't cost the team all that much. It's just they looked ugly. That's fine. He has, I think, a confidence issue. And Chris talked about it last Thursday. He hesitates a little bit on where to throw the ball. And that's something that you would hope as – he's out there longer and he plays another X amount of seasons at first base. That kind of stuff gets ingrained in him. But again, I just think the whole thing is, even if he just shows modest improvement, it all comes down to if he hits. He hits, he'll play.
You know, a couple things come to mind. Number one, you remember the Tigers drafted Torkelson as a third baseman and tried him there through low A and high A,
right?
Which I think mostly goes to tell you what we were working with the previous front office. You know, he's either they were, you know, delusional about his ability, or they really didn't want to be branded as the team that drafted the first baseman, first overall, first first base, which either way is absolutely silly. But I will say, from having gone down to the games and you know, watched batting practice, watched infield, it's not like Torkelson's not trying. Every time I'm down there, he's practicing his ass off. Like, he's taking ground balls from 10 feet away with a tiny glove and doing everything he can. He's working hard at it. It's a tough game, and I do think it's a combination of, like, what you mentioned is there's, I think there's like a switch. You know, he may be thinking about what he needs to do, and then as soon as the ball actually comes to him, he's like, oh, okay. And then, yeah, like, it just it so maybe a little bit more time there. And obviously, you know, it's not a world-ending issue right now, but it's been tough to see him struggle there at first base. You know, that's traditionally a position where you don't pay too much attention to the defense there, but that's mostly because a lot of first basemen are pretty sure-handed, although we did live through the Prince Fielder era, which was tough. I did want to, you know, there's a comment here from Deadly Ninja Bees. I'll pop it up right here. It's kind of fun. Is Wenzel Perez, Willie Castro with plate discipline? And that is an interesting comment because we did see Wenzel or Willie Castro, pardon me, all this series. I don't know. What do you guys think? Is there a comparable player there?
That's a reasonable comp, right? I mean, they both have some offensive skills, but Willie, you know, he takes a walk once a month, and maybe Wenzel can take a walk once a week, and maybe a little more than that. So, but with the speed, the little bit of power, yeah, they're very similar players, other than the pitch recognition.
Yeah, and there's and they both have defensive issues, shall we say? The Twins are at least attempting to play Willie Castro on the infield and even on the left side of the infield, I think, because they're kind of out of options. But Perez got hit with an error this weekend too in the outfield. He's kind of uncomfortable everywhere but the batter's box.
I mean, like you've said though, if he hits, he'll play, right?
Yeah,
100%.
At this point, yeah, you want to. It's just this limited sample size, but you do wonder if we might start seeing a little bit more Buddy Kennedy and Wenzel Perez and less, Matt Vierling and Cole Keith for a little bit at least, or Parker Meadows, that they, you know, just trying to spark the offense a little bit. I know they certainly value defense, but you know, when the offense isn't clicking, maybe you gotta, take a minus on that side of the ball for a slight chance of scoring more runs. But
Thinking about Meadows, we always know we don't get too fired up about spring training stats, but he was so consistent through the spring. You know, he never had like an 0 for 10 or 0 for 12. He just kept cranking out a couple times on base every game. So I really thought he was going to be okay. I didn't think gangbusters, but I thought he'd be okay. What's he like, 4 for 49 right now?
Yeah.
You know, and that's starting to build up. People are starting to talk about, you know, is he going to wreck his confidence? To me, as long as the team is playing well, they can live with it. Keep trying. But I guess it comes down to how they feel his at-bats look. You know, is he making typical outs that he used to make when things are going well, or does he look different, like he's pressing? We'd have to talk to their hitting coaches about that. But he hit that home run the other day. He almost hit one in the ninth. Saturday, maybe it's starting to come around. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, the thing about the spring training, obviously, is that they're just not really necessarily game planning to get you out. And right. One thing that we've seen a bunch and saw today is the teams are really just targeting Meadows with elevated fastballs. And he was up 3-1 in a count early today and chased a fastball that was, 4 or 5 inches above the strike zone.
Yep.
And then struck out. I don't remember him doing that much in the minors. Honestly, I didn't, maybe the minor league teams weren't so, diabolical at instantly identifying a guy's holes and attacking them relentlessly. But I feel like for whatever reason, there's a little bit of he's chasing it right now. Instead of just taking those walks, he's trying to do too much at the plate, and it's costing him at times. People here are talking about Colt Keith too. Joe Hill here says, is it just me or watching Keith, his mannerism, body posture at times, he seems to be battling some confidence issues too. And of course, Deadly Ninja Beast follows with, he looks tighter than a dolphin's butt. Do you guys have any opinions on that? Do you think Keith is pressing a bit?
I mean, we've kind of already been talking, we've only been on the show really a couple minutes. We've already brought up like confidence. I think when the offense starts out as poor as it did, with needing all those late game heroics, especially in the first couple series, I think guys, I'm not saying they skated by, but I just think that it kind of sometimes gets lost that, you're winning these games, they have an above 500 record, but confidence, I do think is a big thing with Colt Keith. Like he was given a longer leash, right? Like the contract told you like, hey, we're going to let you do this. We know you may struggle, but like I'm not worried about him, but I do think that his confidence is definitely part of it with Cole.
I am waiting on him to turn on one. Mm-hmm. Seems like the best swings we've seen from him so far. He's kind of just looping some liners out over the shortstop. That's when he gets on base and gets a couple of hits when he has. He did have the one extra base hit, right? But in the minors, when we saw him going well, I mean, he hit a couple of destructive bombs out there, right? I mean, they were gone. We know, at least we've seen in the minor league level, that power is there to turn on one and go full blast. I don't know if it's he just hasn't had the timing for it yet. He's just trying to find his way and loop the ball to the other way and get a base hits, and that's fine. But at some point, I got to believe that he's going to feel a little more comfortable and be ready for a pitch and turn on one and show us that power, and hopefully that unlocks something.
Well, didn't it always take him like 100, 150 at-bats at each level? Like, he always struggled roughly that much, and then he broke out. I think it happened at like every level. So maybe he just doesn't have enough at-bats. Maybe that really is all it is.
Yeah, there's a, you know, there was always a little bit of a acclimation period for him, and then he would take off. You know, it was to varying degrees. He never really struggled like this, but obviously this is the highest level. But I remember his, I think it was early on in AAA, he hit, I think he hit a home run in his first or second at bat, and then hit the 473-foot homer shortly thereafter. But then it was like a good month before he really got it going. I think you're right. It does seem, it feels like he needs to just sit on a pitch at the start of an at bat. You know, hey, this guy likes to you know, sneak a strike with a curveball, or he's going to throw a fastball. Just sit on that and absolutely let loose. Just first pitch of an at bat, try to launch and see what happens.
I'd love to see it.
I do think that once he gets going, I think he'll be fine. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's still relatively early. I was looking at the list of players who don't have a home run yet this year. And there are a lot of really good players on there. Julio Rodriguez, Alex Bregman, you know, Torkelson, all these, there's like 30 of them, qualified hitters. So it's sometimes it, you know, everybody starts slow. One other thing that a strange kind of unusual happening going on is Riley Green has turned into the king of walks.
Yes.
He is now leading all of baseball at walk rate over 20%. I don't know what you guys, if you have any thoughts on this. Do you think it's going to last where he's going to be walking at, you know, well above average rate, or is this just kind of a weird period in the where they're afraid of letting him beat them?
Well, he's really embraced the leadoff role when you think about it. You know, yeah. And if the leadoff man's job is to get on first, he can't steal first. He's getting there the slow way with the walks, and that's fine. I don't know. You know, this team is, they need the power. Right? They're just power deficient. He has some power, but he's not tapping into it. He's got three homers, and that's fine. But, you know, it's walks are great. They tire out the other pitcher. They get you into the bullpen. They get the guys on base. They turn the lineup over. There's all wonderful things. But at the same time, you know, he's one of the guys who should be doing destructive things. It's not a bad thing, but it's I'm not sold yet on the walking man.
Really, I guess the way I've always looked at it, I actually wrote a bunch on Riley Green when I was prepping to come on tonight. I think that when you have a younger guy that is able to draw walks like he is, even if it's not going to stay at this pace, I don't think that he is going to draw 20% walk rate. That's insane. That's not sustainable. But I also don't think that Riley Green is going to have a .233 batting average the rest of the year either. I think that that's going to come up. So the fact is he's getting on base now when he is, like you've said, struggling with his power. Once his power starts to come back, he's built a cushion where guys are going to have to throw him strikes. So he's going to get the opportunities to show his power. And I think it's only a matter of time. And it's just, I love how, and again, I'm just agreeing with you mostly. He's embraced the leadoff role, and that's something the Tigers really haven't had that true leadoff man in a while, and he finally is becoming maybe that, hopefully for the long run.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. You know, you want I agree. I think that the point about his batting average is spot on. He's going to, at some point, he's going to start swinging and hitting the ball more. And when he hits the ball, he hits it very hard. I think he had a 109 mile an hour out today, and he had a single later in the game. So, you know, I think he's their most well-rounded hitter, but certainly Kerry Carpenter is doing a whole lot of damage early on the season. It's been fun to see, and he's seeing more left-handed pitching now, because how can you not let him try? But I guess, you know, we didn't discuss today's game, which we can touch on real quick, because it was the more enjoyable game. Louis Varland, the Twins starter, was just not good. He couldn't throw strikes. The Tigers were making him pay. Two runs in the first, and then that Buddy Kenny homer later. And meanwhile, I guess we haven't touched on the starting pitching at all over the weekend, but it was pretty darn good. You know, Flaherty, yeah. 10 strikeouts, I think 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 4 total. Olson was kind of B- Olson. You know, he wasn't missing a ton of bats, but also wasn't giving up a ton of hard contact. And then Mize today, you know, it was kind of classic Casey Mize. He wasn't blowing people away, but 6 runs or 6 innings of scoreless ball. It's hard to complain about that.
You know, obviously I'm blacked out here with the Twins, one of the team I can never see. So I was doing radio today, which is fun. I actually like listening to Dickerson. I liked that Dickerson was bringing up something. Well, of course, I like it because he talked about something I talk about, right? Mize's fastball. And he was talking about how Mize, with a little extra tick in velocity, and that the pitch is a little more lively than it's been in the past, exactly what we were talking about last week, that he was bringing that fastball into left-handers when he never used to challenge. And if he did, he got crushed a couple years back. And as I said in the offseason, to me, one of the three biggest things for this club that I'm watching personally in my interest is what does Casey Mize bring to the table? And that was a good start today. And he's, you know, been pretty consistent so far and looking good. So I'm really excited to see where this is going to go over the next couple of months.
I love that he's gotten better every single game so far this year. And every one of his 4 starts, it looks like he's gotten just a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. I mean, he's obviously coming back. So he's still even really finding his form. Obviously, he just got his first win. What was it? Last start. I have loved seeing improvement, because I feel like he was a little bit of a wild card going into this year. You really didn't know what you were going to get in terms of if the stuff was really still there. So the fact that he's still getting better every start, and I feel like there's growth there. Strikeouts haven't been, you know, he doesn't have really all that many. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I just love that he's improving every start. Great.
Yeah, and we get some more questions in here. Somebody was talking about sending Mike Doyle said send Colt Keith down and bring up Jace Young. It's a little early for that. Jace Young did hit a 3-run homer today. He also committed 2 errors in the 9th inning that almost cost them the game, and he's also striking out over 30% of the time in AAA. So not quite ready for the big leagues, I wouldn't say.
He was striking out 40% earlier, right? So I looked, it was like 31% today. So
yeah, I mean, he's doing what he does. He's walking double digit rate. He's hitting for power. He just hasn't downloaded AAA pitching quite yet. And the fielding, he's been solid for the most part. And then today it was 2 really, really bad errors. They were relatively simple plays and the ball just scooted right by him. So
that homer today was a nice, memorable 444 feet.
Yeah, he crushed that one. It was Raj got that clip for us today. What else do we have? Yeah, the Deadly Ninja Bees as saying the catching position is providing nothing right now. Yeah. That is, you know, having offense from a catcher feels like a luxury at times. The Tigers certainly got it last year in Jake Rogers, but he's not done anything this year. It's been kind of tough. He's another guy where you've seen it before, so you think it's coming, but he's always been kind of an iffy hitter, so you never know for sure. I don't know. We've seen basically a 50-50 split between him and Kelly behind the plate, so I don't know. You guys have any confidence that Rogers is going to figure this out and be more like the hitter he was last year?
I mean, catchers, I have the stats right in front of me. I was doing this. Catchers combined for the Tigers this year, batting 138, 188, 225. 2 home runs, 4 walks, 26 strikeouts, 11 hits, and 80 at-bats. It's rough, and the only real options, they don't really have any options in-house. Dylan Dingler is not lighting the world on fire in the minors right now. So I'm really worried about the catching position, and I don't think Jake Rogers can bring it back. I feel like his best case scenario was Adam Dunn. That's what I saw last year. I was like, man, crush 35, 40 homers and bat 200. I'm cool with that. But he's not even to that point yet. He can't make enough contact to do that. So it's a bummer. I was really excited for Carson Kelly after spring training and after the end of last year. But the catch, I think that if they keep a winning record, they're going to need to find some outside help at catcher. I don't know where it is, but you can't have those stats on a team that's competing at all. That's bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the AJ Hinch always says, you know, that the most important thing for the catcher to do is catch a winner, and they've been doing a decent amount of that, right? You know, they're 12-10, but I agree. I mean, something has to improve there. They can't have two guys with 50 or below WRC plus going out there. But I think, yeah, it's funny you brought up Adam Dunn, because I used to, I forgot what I called it, but I was trying to create a stat for Jake Rogers. It was like the Jake Rogers Quadrophenia or something like that, where it's an Adam Dunn hat trick, which is a home run, walk, and strikeout in the same game, but adding in a caught stealing. And then I gave up about 10 minutes in, because I was like, I don't know how to do this, but I'd have to go back and find the actual name for it. But yeah, I mean, he's just a three true outcome kind of hitter. And I don't know. I think we've seen some indications that there's been some limited research out there already that maybe the ball is messed up again this year, and it's not flying as much as it did last year, which is, would be a bummer, because that seems to happen every single year. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down.
Depends on what stadium you're in.
Yeah,
they sent the lively balls.
That's true. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. God. But you do hope that Jake Rogers will at least find a swing at some point to where he can hit a few home runs. And I mean, that's all you really want from him, right? You just old school, bottom of the order, hit a dinger when nobody else is doing something.
You know, last year I felt, again, not a hitting coach, so, you know, what I got to say is just what you eyeball on TV. I thought he was really, really a big uppercut swing early in the season last year. Almost comical level. And I thought, to my eye, he leveled it off a little in the second half when he was hitting better. I didn't think it was as pronounced of an uppercut. And now he's kind of got that uppercut again. You know, I just wonder if they need to get some tape on, watch that. I don't know. I wish I did know.
You know, I think it's, you know, swings are hard to maintain, right? And it, you know, hitters will take 5,000 swings in a season in batting practice and stuff like that, and they'll make subtle changes they don't even notice until it's too, you know, like, what happened? But yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, a lot of swings don't look quite right now. We talked about Colt Keith, we talked about Torkelson, we talked about Jake Rogers. It's
Meadows.
I don't know. Yeah, Meadows. They're all searching for it right now. But again, we're kind of dissecting this for a 12-10 team, which is, they're getting closer and closer to that solid start that we hoped they would get. You know, for once, not dig themselves a hole this early. Although Cleveland is just kind of running away with things right now. They're 16-6. I still don't know how much I believe it, but they went out and did the impossible. They swept Oakland. Certainly the Tigers don't know how to do that. Yeah, I don't know if we want to have anything more to say about the Twins series.
You brought him up, but I really do think it bears talking about Cary Carpenter just a little bit more.
Gotcha.
He's just becoming a legitimate presence in the four hole. And, you know, I was a little worried last year when he had the power outage down the stretch, where I don't think he hit a home run in September. You know, you just had to wonder. And then he got off to a somewhat slow start the first 5-6 games this year. But now, boy, when he could, even a couple of the, he had a couple of BABIP luck hits, you know, he just kind of check swing for a single there on Friday night. But he's making so much, you know, solid contact. Pretty impressive. You know, where they brought him from to what they possibly have. And, you know, as Mike pointed out, he's playing the field more, which I agree. I was surprised by that too. I thought we would see him DHing a fair amount, but he's becoming, I would say, pretty passable out there.
Yeah, certainly not like a huge negative or drag. You know, there's still plays where you're like, ooh, what are you doing? You know, he tends to go into that slide to catch the ball. But yeah, so far it's totally fine. And with the offense he's provided, he's played about 170 games now with the Tigers, and he's a 278 hitter with 29 home runs in that time.
Yeah,
which is a-okay. That's gonna work. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It just seems like he's the guy who always comes through. Like, obviously he doesn't always come through, it's baseball, but it feels like more often than not when they need a big hit, he provides it. So certainly a nice bat to have in the middle of the order. And if you get Torque cooking a little bit and Green keeps getting on base and Canna's doing his thing, then yeah, that the top four seems kind of fun, and then you just have to worry about the bottom five.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if the pitching keeps up like this, I mean, maybe they don't, right? Just, you got your top four guys, whatever happens in the last, let's just play good defense.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you mentioned top four, the four starters right now have all looked pretty good. Scooble, Flaherty, Olson, Mize, they're all doing their job. You know, they've had some hiccups here, and then it's just, it's got Maeda. They got to get that figured out at some point, because Manning's been solid, and it does feel like it's nice to have that fallback option there. But we did get the news earlier this week. I don't know exactly when it happened, but that Sawyer Gibson Long is getting Tommy John surgery. It's the one with the internal bracing, which is just like a fancy tape that they put in there, I believe. But the the recovery period is supposed to be significantly faster. It's the same one that Spencer Strider is getting. But still, I mean, Sawyer Gibson Long, no longer an option for this season. You hope he can come back healthy next year. So that, lowers the depth slightly. But right now, they're still sitting pretty with a bunch of healthy starters. And you just got to get Maeda figured out. Maybe he will in this upcoming series against Tampa. Three games, yeah. I believe.
Look. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm bummed about. I really liked what I saw in his couple starts last year. Gibson Long, it's a huge bummer. He only pitched three innings, and then he said his arm was still hurting. So it's a huge. I mean, I don't know. I feel like depth. You can never have too much depth in starting pitching, because you're not going to get your 30 starts from all five of your starters. So that's a huge blow. But I think they can ride it out with Matt Manning. Just, I don't know. I feel like the Tigers have been a little bit fortuitous with starting pitching. So I maybe it's a superstitious feeling. I have a bad feeling, and I can't explain it. My apologies. There's no analysis there. I have a gut feeling, and I'm sorry. That's all I got.
That is the nature of being a fan of the Detroit Tigers. I got a bad feeling something's happening. It's interesting. With they still have Montero in AAA. Brant Herder's been pitching well. Flores has moved to the bullpen, and it hasn't gone great so far. I don't know what's going to happen there. And, Jackson Jobe's feeling his way through AA. Ty Madden kind of doing the same. So there's some options down there, but you don't want to get too far down that. I was joking in our Discord the other day about, the Tigers. We keep praising the Tigers for all their pitching depth, and then all the infielders got hurt. It's like, oh, well. So then you end up with Buddy Kennedy up in the big leagues. But you know what? He's made the most of it, and so you give him credit there. I did want to highlight this comment. Our friend Doug Kloss giving us a nice shout-out here. Great show as always, fellas. If you're watching this, don't forget to hit the thumbs up and show support for the show. We appreciate that, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Everything. Thank you, Doug. And I didn't do any of the basic housekeeping, but I don't know. If you're listening to the show, watching the show, you know how to find us, right? Right?
Sure.
Yeah. And if you're making bets, go bet online. I give them credit for truth in advertising. It's a place where you bet online, and that's their name.
Well said. Bet online. I like it.
So yeah, we got a three-game series with Tampa coming up at Tampa, the 12-11 Tampa Bay Rays. So doing about as well as the Tigers. Interesting pitching matchups. They've got It's Scooble versus Zach Littell tomorrow, I believe, and the Tampa tends to come up with these guys that maybe people haven't heard of much. Zach Littell appears to be kind of a slider monster.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see how the Tigers handle that. But have you watched much Rays?
Do I?
Yeah, have you watched the Rays much this year?
I have watched, you know, I probably watched about four games so far. For Mike's benefit, just not, the Rays are kind of sort of my second team if I had to name a second team. So I do watch a lot of Rays baseball. Littell, you know, he's one of those Rays reclamation projects where they saw something in him that could play that other teams, you know, weren't looking for. And then you're right, it is the slider. He's just going to keep pounding that thing in there. And up, down, left, and right, you know. He's a good, solid pitcher. You know, all of a sudden you look up and he's got four innings. He's allowed one run, you know. But with Skubal, I think that the Rays are probably a pretty good matchup for him. You know, I think he'll be able to dominate a couple of their lefties. And Rosarena is off to a pretty rough start from the right side. So I think tomorrow night could go okay.
And we just get to see old friend Tyler Alexander, Deadly Ninja Bees brings it up on Wednesday. He's probable starter for Wednesday.
Yeah, there are multiple old friends on Tampa. I believe that Nico Goodrum was up for a little while. I don't know if he's playing for them right now. And of course, Isak Paredes is kind of leading their offense right now with five home runs. That's the that one's just going to keep on stinging.
Oh yeah.
But then the other guy, what's that?
Oh, that one's less of an old friend and more of like an ugly breakup with an ex. That's how I look at
it. Yeah, the and YouTube user says, I hate the Tampa ballpark, the trap.
So do they.
I think everybody does. The one good thing, of course, about that is that the fans never show up, except I'm sure there'll be plenty of Tigers fans making the trek from Lakeland and thereabouts to go see the Tigers or any snowbirds that are down there. So it'll be like a glorified home game for the most part. So that's always good. You know, the rest of the Tampa offense is funny. You know, they always do this and they always seem to figure out ways to win. But you look at it and it's Jose Caballero is kind of this out of nowhere guy who's speedy and doesn't have a whole lot of power, but he's hitting for average and he doesn't walk. I don't know what it feels like. He's due for a pretty hardcore regression, but he's on a hot streak early to begin the year. Yep. You get like Ben Rortvedt, former punchless backup catcher for the Twins, who's hitting well. Richie Palacios is hitting well. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's a bunch of randos. It may be a frustrating series if those guys are getting on base, but to Yoop's point, you know, he's watched them, so maybe Skubal can carve them up.
The Tigers are probably pretty fortunate. Junior Caminero got injured like in his second game in the minors. He probably would have been up. I think they were. Mm-hmm. I think he'd. Most of the writing that you can find, he was going to play a few games in the minors and then head to the majors. Now I think he's had two games back since the injury, so Detroit will probably miss him. That's a nice bat, man. That guy hits some frightening home runs and would be their third baseman. So I would bet he's back within the next 10 days, but Detroit will miss him.
Yeah, it's fortunate, and another one where, you know, Tampa, this is not a vintage Tampa team, if such a thing exists. Like, as we mentioned, you know, Zach Littell on Monday, then you got Ryan Pepio on Tuesday. He's a changeup artist, as I recall from his days as a prospect with the Dodgers. I haven't paid a ton of attention to what he's been doing in Tampa, but I do feel like he had some issues throwing strikes with the Dodgers. You know, Tampa has a pretty good track record of taking these guys and fixing them, but that one would be interesting to see. And then, yeah, as somebody pointed out, that Wednesday game is Tyler Alexander starting against the Tigers. So that's either going to be fun or really frustrating.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the guys, you know, we've seen him. He's capable of striking out nine guys in a row. He did it once. So, yeah. But he also has lots and lots of times where he's out of the strike zone. So we'll just have to see what they've done with him. He's got a 4.79 ERA so far, so they haven't exactly, quote-unquote, fixed him. But so we'll just have to kind of see where that goes. Interesting to see where Kenta Maeda lands on Tuesday, right? That ballpark, you know, I think they should be able to keep the ball in the park a little more, if nothing else. So we'll have to see what he brings to the table that on Tuesday night. But certainly, you know, if he goes out and gives up three dingers and is gone in the fourth inning, the calls from all points in Tiger Nation are going to be about Matt Manning on Wednesday morning. So that'll be something to watch.
Yeah, you hope for Maeda's sake and for the Tiger's sake that he starts to pull this together, because as you mentioned that there's an option there and it's getting tempting to pull the cord there. Maybe get Maeda to the IL or to the bullpen.
Yep.
But that's about it on the Tigers front. We'll have the minor league show tomorrow, I believe. Max Clark did hit his first home run in low A the mm-hmm. other day, which so people can stop worrying about that. Maybe he's been on a bit of a tear since he was said to be overwhelmed by low A pitching. He's actually, I think, has the third or fourth highest WRC plus in the minors for the Tigers. So he's been one of the better hitters in the system so far. But, you know, when you're taking third overall and everybody's always going to compare you to Wyatt Langford, another one of those hitters who doesn't have a home run.
Well, you know, Bobby Scales today with a good point on radio. You know, the park in Lakeland and pretty much all in that Florida State League, right? Those are big ballparks. So, you know, anybody expects Max Clark to, you know, hit 22 dingers in that field, in that league, you know, might be a little disappointed. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of doubles and triples probably.
Yeah, the number of hitters who have hit 20-plus home runs in the Florida State League is relatively small.
I bet.
Every now and then somebody does it. You know, Kristen Stewart did it, I think, although they were playing at a different park. Ryan Strebe did it back in the day.
I got a story on him.
Oh, all right, let's hear it.
Oh, okay.
Strebe story.
Well, it's...
Oh, is it more for after the show?
No. I moved here to Iowa, right? That first summer, maybe the second summer, I went over to Cedar Rapids to see the Whitecaps come to town. And lo and behold, I go to a game. Ryan Strebe hits two massive homers. Jonah Nickerson has a no-hitter into the ninth. And Gorkys Hernandez had a hit and a walk, a stolen base, and a gold glove level catch. And I'm thinking, this is the greatest minor league team I've ever seen. This is a little before I was into, kind of knew what to expect. And none of those guys ever did a damn thing. So that's the fun of the minors.
Well, Gorky's at least made the bigs. And first of all, huge thank you to Joe Hill. $10 donation. We appreciate it. I'd be pressing the exquisite and off the Frickers building and all those things, but I don't have the soundboard. That's at Rogelio's house. Maybe he can slide in here after bowling and pop in. But he said, thanks for all the work you guys do. Off topic, but how do you guys like the new Lions uniforms? Personally, I think they hit it out of the park. Yoop, your thoughts?
Oh, hey there.
Just in case you don't know, Yoop is actually a Packers fan. So
yeah. Oh, you know what? I think I like the black uniforms. I thought they're pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like that helmet that's going to go with them. So that blue helmet. So they're not bad.
Mike, what about you? I feel like you might have some good thoughts on this.
I don't know. I've never really wanted to really care too much about uniforms. I thought they didn't do enough. I am in that camp. The home and away, I mean, I love the alternate. I do like the black. I will say that. I like the numbers. I just like the whole thing, the way that looks. But the home and away stuff, it barely really did anything. And I thought, I got hyped up. I let them hype me up into thinking, oh, these are going to be so great. And then, they're fine. They don't wow me. They're fine, you know.
Yeah, I was hoping that you might be a huge Lions fan who had a whole bunch of thoughts on those, because at times I feel like I'm one of the only sports fans on earth who doesn't care one iota about jerseys or hats or uniforms or numbers. I don't pay attention to any of that. I don't care if people want to buy it. That's awesome. I don't own any jerseys of any sports team. I barely have any licensed merchandise. I don't know why. I just don't. I don't know. But some people go crazy for it, and that's good. I'm happy for them. My hot take is not hot at all. I've heard 1,000 other people say this. My favorite Lions jerseys of all times were the throwbacks that they wore in, like, the Barry Sanders era that were just very understated, silver and a darker shade of blue. I thought they were awesome, and I wish they would just wear those constantly.
Well, yeah, Go ahead, Mike. I kind of feel mostly the same on uniforms. I've never got it. I never know people's numbers in any sport. Somebody be like, oh, number 12. And I'm like, I watch every game and I don't know who number 12 is. I can't tell you, but yeah, I think every Lions fan loves the idea of the black uniforms, but it's, I don't know. Other than that, I feel like it's really hard to have an opinion on them.
Well, and speaking of uniforms, it looks like the Tigers edition of the Nike City Connect series is, I saw May 6th from someone. So we'll see if that could be in a couple weeks. And then the Tigers would probably be wearing those jerseys at least one night a week for the rest of the summer. That's the way most teams have gone with that. A lot of people have no confidence at all that this is going to be a good thing, because some of these jerseys have been, you know, a little out there, and some of them have been downright mediocre. But in my opinion, and again, I buy a lot of jerseys for my son, the two City Connects they've come out with this year, I thought that Mets one last week was pretty solid with the dark gray with the pinstripes and the bridge on the hat. And then the Philadelphia one the week before was pretty good too. So I've, you know, been waiting for 3 years now for the Tigers to get this City Connect uniform and see if they botch it or if they hit a home run. So the countdown's on. A few more days.
Yeah, that Mets gray, it's not bad. I actually hadn't seen them, and I looked it up. I actually do like this Mets uniform, the gray with the stripes. That's pretty tidy.
I would usually never get my son a New York uniform, but I think I might get pop that for that one. I like it.
I wish I've never bought a jersey, not sarcastically. I own three Blaine Gabbert jerseys. I own two Drew Lock jerseys. I'm a huge Missouri fan. You guys might not know that about me. From Missouri, huge University of Mizzou fan, but like all my jerseys are sarcastic. I lied. I got an Alex Smith jersey. I love Alex Smith. But other than that, I think I have a Tigers. I think I have a Ryan Rayburn jersey from a long time ago. Nice. Again, all these are very sarcastic.
You know, I mean, we've seen some small leaks of what it could be and what it's supposed to be, and I was underwhelmed. Again, I don't particularly care, but the people who've seen it were like, yeah, it's just like a navy jersey.
Yeah.
Like, oh, all right, well, that's something. But we'll find out. Maybe those are all to throw us off the scent. I did want to, Dom Eustace asked a question here, and I wanted to touch on this one. He said, Chris, what can Austin Meadows, I'm sure he means Parker Meadows, do in the field and on the base pass that Badu can't do, because we all know who has the better bat? I will say this. I don't know if Badu's bat is actually any better than Parker Meadows. He's certainly done more in the big league level, but he also, since that rookie year, and really just a couple months of that rookie year, hasn't done a whole lot. And he's just kind of being solid in Toledo. And the main thing is that Meadows is just a significantly better center field defender than Akil Badu. What's that?
Arm wise as well.
Yeah. He's got a better arm. He's got more range. He's got better instincts. They're probably about the same speed, but Meadows seems to use that speed better. Badu was like a -6 or -7 defensive run saved in his career in center field. He ended up being an okay left fielder. But Meadows is already like +7 defensive run saved in a very limited time. He has gold glove level ability in center field. And when you're picking between the guys you want in center field, I don't think Badu's bat, it may be better, but I don't think it's better enough to then have to slide Riley Green back to center field, because he's a better option in center than Badu. So that's my thoughts on it. I don't know if you guys, I'd like Akil Badu, always have, but you know, I think Meadows is more important to the long-term future if he can figure it out.
I've been a long-time Badu fan as well. I think there's a lot to work with there, and I think he got shortchanged with COVID year and with the injury and didn't get a lot of minor league time because of the Rule 5 draft. So a lot of his issues were just bad happenstance, right? He has a couple – I think he has another option left next year, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I think this is it. This is the last year for him. Yep, really? I believe so.
Oh, okay. Well, he's worth keeping in the minors for depth, and he could certainly get hot, you know, and work his way back. But I think you're right. I think as much as I like the guy, I stick with Meadows too, unless this offense gets completely untenable and the team is losing. But you're right. He's saving them runs in the field, and that counts too.
And you know, Fangraphs does say he has two options, so you may be right. Okay. I think maybe I was thinking he was in arbitration this year, is making $1.6 million, so he would presumably get another raise. And if he's going to be in Toledo again all year, I don't know if he would get that from them, but we'll see.
Oh, that's a good point. So they possibly could keep him, but you're right, that's going to be a pricey one. Even though that would still be a drop in the bucket for a Major League Baseball team, but that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
Keep him around, keep him in the minors, see what he can do. You know, get him with the right hitting coach and hope for the best. I always say this, when he does connect, the guy has massive power. He never hits a fence scraper. When he does hit a home run, those things are gone by 40 feet.
He hit one the other day, 114.8 miles per hour.
Yeah.
It was one of the hardest hit balls in AAA so far this year.
It's in there. It's just making it a steady presence. You know, we can say that about a lot of guys with Tigers.
Yeah. Well, I don't see any more questions here. I don't know if there's anything else we wanted to touch on. We touched on Torkelson. We touched on Green and Carpenter. We talked about the series coming up. Anything else pressing that we need to discuss in Tigers? I guess the draft is coming up on Thursday, the NFL draft. The Packers must have a pretty late pick.
25th,
and I think the Lions are 30th, 29th?
29th, I think. Packers GM has a track record, though. In his drafts, I think he's only stayed put in the first round once. He always moves up or goes back. It can go either way, but he's kind of he loves to swing a couple of deals on draft night. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, so is Brad Holmes. It'll be fun. I'm busy Thursday. I've got something on, so I can't go down there. But I'm going to try to go down Friday and see the whole draft set up down in Detroit. It'll be really cool. Heard it's going to be impossible to get downtown though. That's really kind of scaring me off. People are saying it could take you an hour from the outskirts of Detroit to get downtown or more. Mm. It's going to be interesting.
Well, I'll just use some of Metro Detroit's wonderful public transportation system to. No, I mean, I don't, you know, I honestly don't know what Rogelio's plans were for Thursday. I don't know if he was going to go down and meet some of his old buddies from Woodward or if we're going to do a show or what. I have some friends who are going down there. They got a hotel room and all that stuff. And I may go down, but I don't know. I mean, it depends. So I guess we'll keep everybody updated if we're going to do a show.
Yeah, we can talk about Wednesday too, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, we could always do a Wednesday night show. The Tigers don't play on Thursday. We could do a Thursday morning show even, although we'd get Dark Yoop again from the car.
Yeah. We'll see.
But, thanks everybody for joining us and asking questions and hanging out tonight. And we'll see, you know, we'll be back with Raj at some point. Hopefully his bowling team did well tonight. Mike, thank you so much for joining us and stepping in. It's good to get your insights. And we'll see how the fan base feels after these next three games at Tampa.
Off we go.
We'll see you soon. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.